So today's message is called, What is the Source of Life? What is the source of life? And where does life come from? Where does life come from? And I think as we understand where the source of life is, where we understand where life comes from, it helps us to make better choices in life. Because we can know what's really giving me life. What's really fueling my body and my life? What is making the difference here? Because, you know, if we start to look just at physical things, there are certain things that that interest us. There's, you know, hobbies that I like. There's stuff I enjoy, you know. But if I really break it down and I ask, is there life in that? The answer usually is no. Does it mean I have to stop it? Not necessarily. If it's not destructive, if it's not killing me, I don't have to stop it, but I just have to be aware that that's not the source of life. Because if I begin to understand where the source of life is coming from, my priorities shift. Suddenly, wherever the source of life is coming from for me, if I want to have life, and I want to have a life more abundant, I'm going to put that first. That's going to be first place. And so my priorities shift, and everything else then falls underneath the top priority. If I don't understand where the source of life is, what's really giving me life? What brings life into my body? What is it that's keeping me alive? And now you can start to think about the vital organs. You know, if your lungs stop, you're in trouble. You die, right? If your heart stops, that's bad news. You die. If your brain stops, you die. But you know, even though that's the case, that's only the physical body. And we've got to remember, we are not that simple. We are way more complex than that. We've got a physical body, and yeah, it's got some vital points that if they stop working, we're in trouble, and this physical body ceases to exist. But that is not the source of our life. You know, and quite often if we're just thinking on a physical level, that's what we're worried about. We're worried about protecting our heart and our lungs and our brain. And, you know, we want to keep those vital organs, you know, functioning because we don't want it to stop. But that's not where the source of life is coming from. That's not what is causing us to be alive right now. That's not what's causing us to be here. You're here, you're alive. Some of you are alive, some of you I'm not so sure about it, but we might want to take his pulse back there and just double check, you know, just make sure. Because I don't know. But, you know, but we want to be really knowing what is the source of our life. And there's a lot of areas that we put a lot of time into that are not alive. And we got to understand the difference. This building is not alive and does not bring life into our life. This building. And most of you know that, and I think you wouldn't have a problem with that. Religion. And I'm talking about all religions, whatever the name of the religion, it doesn't matter. I'm not excluding a single religion. Is dead. There is no life in religion. Jesus was talking about the same thing. All the time when he was walking, he was always against the religious establishment. He didn't say we should form a religion. He was against the religious establishment because there was no life in it. And these people at that time when he was walking were putting so much time and so much emphasis into this religious system that had no life. And he wanted them to put more emphasis into helping people, into doing good. And he kept emphasizing and focusing that. See, he was trying to get them focused off something that was dead, that was not bringing life, onto something that would bring life. So we have to understand there's a lot of stuff out there that we can put a lot of time into, and there's no life in it. And we've got to know what the source of life is so we can put the time in the right place so we can live a life, not just a regular life, an amazing life. A powerful life, a great life. And this is what we have to understand. Now, obviously, traditions and rituals, there's no life in those. Doesn't matter if your family has done something the same way every year, maybe around Christmas time, you guys have a certain way you always do things, you always put up the tree, and then you have your food afterwards, or, you know, you've got a system. Your family's got its own little system of how it does it. It's got its own little tradition. Nobody else on the block maybe is doing that even, but you guys just have come up with something, but there's no life in that. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to do that, but I'm just saying we got to be aware there's no life in that. That's not what is fueling the source of our, that is not what is the source of our life. So what is the source of our life? Listen to here in John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to are spirit, and they are life. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus very clearly points out it's the Spirit that gives life. What is the source of our life right now? It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. And we start to notice that because if we think about just this physical body, we can kind of narrow it down. We can start to think about that, well, without food, you can live quite a long time without food. You can go a long, you know, pretty good amount of time without food. Without water, you can go a few, you know, a few days. You're only good for so many days without water, and then that's it. You're not going to make it. Without air, it's only a few minutes. You got a few minutes without air, and then that's it. You're a goner. But without the Spirit of God, not even a millisecond, not even a millisecond, you will be dead without the Spirit of God. If we go down here to John, let's see down, oh, we can go down here to Job chapter 33, verse 4. And it says here in Job, and this is Job speaking, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Remember the breath. When we're talking about the breath of God, and he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, it says in Genesis, right? And Jesus breathed on his disciples before he ascended. And remember, what's that breathing all about? Why does everybody, I hope they don't have garlic breath. What are they breathing on them about? What is that breathing on me? Don't breathe on me. Come on. What is that about? That breath is talking about the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit comes like a wind. It comes like an air. So when he's talking about this breathing, he's talking about breathing out his Spirit upon you. So receiving an anointing of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. Because that is where the power is, in the Spirit of God, which is love. He is love, God. And so he's breathing out. When he talks about that, when Job is saying that he's given life, that he breathed out, he's talking about that Spirit coming upon him. That's what gives us life. So we have to understand that if we want to have life, and we want to have it more abundantly, we need to put the focus on the Spirit of God. Because it's easy to redirect our attention and focus on something else. Get our time and attention really, you know, we can get caught up in all kinds of details of planning this and planning that. And that was Jesus' problem, you know, that he had with those priests of that time when he was walking on the earth. They put so much time and effort into all these little details, and yet they were missing out on life. They were missing out on what really brought life to them, and he was trying to tell them again and again. They couldn't hear him. I hope you're hearing me. I hope you're hearing me, because I want you to hear this. And obviously God wants you to hear this too, because he said, Ted, you're not done yet with the message from last week. He said, do it again. Oh, okay, God, I'll do it again. So we're doing it. Now check this out, because you might not be sure yet, but here it says in Matthew, this is chapter 3, verse 11, this is John the Baptist speaking. And he says, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, and he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So he's talking, he's saying, there's another guy who's going to come along, he's going to breathe on you. That's what John the Baptist is saying, and he's saying that about Jesus. He's saying that Jesus is going to come along, he's going to breathe on you. In other words, he's going to let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit now come upon you. And that's about giving life. Because if we go down here a little bit further, now, did you remember that story where Jesus raised, there was a girl that died, and Jesus was asked by the Father, could you come? She's sick. Come, please. heal this girl. And still, while he was talking, a messenger came up to him and said, "Don't bother the master. She's already gone." And Jesus said, "Hey, do you believe that I can do this? Let's go." And so him and the disciples, they went to the house. And when they got there, there were people wailing and they were mourning and they were screaming and they were crying that the girl is dead. And Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." And they laughed him and they ridiculed him and they said, "This guy's nuts, you know," and he put them out of the house. And him and the disciples and the father and the mother, they went into the room where the girl was lying. And he said, and then he said to her, "Rise up." And it says here in Luke 8, verse 55, "Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately." And then he commanded that they bring some food to her. How did she rise up? Did he do artificial resuscitation? Did he check her vital signs? You know, did he do any? No. He told her to rise up, and it says the spirit returned. The spirit. Without the spirit, that's it. We're done. Not even a millisecond. We're out of here without the Spirit of God. That's what we need to have life. And here, how did Jesus do it? Remember, Jesus, you can't kill God. God doesn't die, right? You can't kill God. So here, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and we need him to die for us in order that we can be have repentance. We can have reconciliation with the Father. But how do you kill God? You can't. But look what it says here, because it shows how he did it. "So when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." It means he died. It wouldn't have happened on its own. He had to let his spirit, give up his spirit to God, so that his body could die at that moment on the cross. It wouldn't happen otherwise, because his spirit is the spirit of God. You can't kill that. That body would never die. That, but you could have punched, you could have broken, you could have done anything you wanted to. That body of Jesus never would have died. You could have took out the heart, the lungs, and the brain. It never would have died. Because the Spirit of God is where the life is.
Amen.
Yeah, say amen to that. So he gives up his spirit because that's where the life is coming from. For you guys, that's where the life is coming from. It's the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. If we start to understand that the life we're living is not just a physical life, but a spiritual life, and if we start to realize what gives me life is the Spirit, now we start rethinking our priorities. We put them in a different order. And because the Spirit doesn't just give us life, it gives us an amazing life. Because a lot of us, we can get into a physical life trying to live, trying to have a great life, trying to be successful, trying to be happy. And a lot of times when you're trying so hard to do all those things, nothing's happening. It's not working. And it's not working because that's not the source of life. You can't make it happen on your own. God created us from the foundation of the world, and God gave us his Spirit. After Jesus ascended, after he breathed on his disciples, then the Holy Spirit came, the Helper. And for everyone who believes, when we say, "Yes, Jesus, I believe what you did," we are filled with the Spirit of God. We now have that very life-giving power on the inside of us. We have that life-giving power on the inside of us, and it awakens us, and it moves us forward, and it helps us to fulfill the purpose for which we were created, and it helps us to live a great life, an amazing life, a blessed life.
Amen.
So, now think about the way God created. You know, when God was first creating, he created something outside of himself. All right? He's creating physical. God is not physical. God is spirit. He is creating something outside of himself. So he creates. He says, "Let there be light." And there is light, right? And he creates the earth, and he creates the water, and he creates the whole environment that we live in, and he creates all of that, right? And he created something outside of himself. But we needed to be connected to him. We need to have a connection because the source of life is the Creator. The source of life comes from the Spirit. If we disconnect from the source, it's like unplugging, you know, if we have the toaster and we unplug it from the electricity, there's no power in it anymore. We don't have that power. We got to plug it back into the source of where the power is coming from. The same thing is true for us. We have to understand that these physical bodies are being animated by the Spirit, by the source of life. It's like once the source of life, the Spirit, comes into us, it animates us. If the Spirit, if we can commit our spirit up like Jesus did, there's no more animation, guys. This body goes, whoo, it's done. Because the Spirit is where the life is coming from. And that's what we have to understand. Now, why is that important? Why is that? Because you might be sitting there going right now, Ted, I'm not sure why that's important. How's that going to make a difference in my life? And I've been talking to you about fulfilling the promises of God. I've been talking to you about living a life of favor and a life of blessing. I've been talking to you about miracles and wonders. Since that's where the source of life comes, from the Spirit, it's not you that's performing the miracles and the wonders. It's not you that's making the success happen. The success is happening through you when you're connected to the source, when you're connected to the source of life. If you understand where the life is coming from, then you can live the life more abundant because you stay connected to the source. You stay plugged in. Now, the great thing was God had to come down into the physical to bring his life-giving power. Because we disconnected, we pulled the plug. And once the plug was pulled, there was chaos. But God is about divine order. And so he comes down and walks on the earth as Jesus in order to bring divine order, his power. Remember, the Spirit of God, as soon as Jesus was baptized, came down and rested and stayed upon Jesus. Before that time, the Spirit of God would come down onto a prophet. He would prophesy. The Spirit of God would come down onto Samson, and he would have this incredible strength, and he could rip things apart like nothing. The Spirit of God would come down upon Daniel. He understood dreams, and he could interpret those dreams. The Spirit of God would come down upon Joseph. He knew dreams too, and he could interpret them. But until the Spirit of God came down upon them, they did not have the life-giving power. The Spirit of God had to come down, had to descend upon them. But we've got something new. We've got something better than Daniel or Samson or Joseph. Because once God came and walked on the earth, and he opened the way, and now he breathed on us, you know, he sent that Spirit, and we say, we believe, we receive Jesus into our heart, and then we receive the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God comes down and brings life into the physical. He created life outside of himself. He created this physical world outside of himself. But for it to be animated, for it to have life, his Spirit had to be connected to it. We disconnected. But once that happened, he had a plan already in place because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise. He didn't suddenly go, oh my God, is that what they did? They disconnected? I had no idea they were going to do that. Of course he knew. He already had the plan in place for something better. So that now when we say we believe, the source of life now is on the inside. The Spirit of God is inside of you. You've already got the Spirit of God on the inside. But here's the thing that we've got to do. We've got to get it moving. We've got to stir up the Spirit of God. Because if we just focus on the physical things and live in the physical, we can walk around and we'll still be living like physical people. We've got to stir up the Spirit. That's why we sing a few songs at the beginning. That's why we begin to praise God. That's why we talk about the miracles that are happening. Because when I hear about the miracles of God, I feel something's happening inside of me. I'm like, whoa, what is that? You know, when I am reading the Word of God and I meditate on it and suddenly I get revelation or insight, again, I feel that power. I feel the Spirit awaken. The Spirit can lie dormant inside of me, even though it's inside of you. It can lie dormant, but we got to stir it up. And we stir it up through reading God's Word and getting revelation. We stir it up through celebrating and praising the miracles of God. We stir it up by being, you know, knowing what how amazing God is. Say amen to that. Amen. Each one of you has the Spirit of God on the inside of you. I want you to know that. I know that you do. The Spirit of God is there. He didn't say, oh, not for you. No, everyone. Everyone has that opportunity. And that Spirit is there so that you can live a life, not a mediocre life, not a regular life, not just, you know, any old life, but that you could live a life of miracles and blessings, that you could live favored, that you could live a life so incredible beyond your dreams, amen, beyond your wildest, whatever you could dream today, whatever you could possibly imagine, however great you think your life could be, God has created a life far more amazing than that.
Amen.
That is the life He wants you to live. But to live that life, we've got to know where the source of life comes from. And it's the Spirit. We saw it when Jesus gave up His Spirit. That was it. When the girl received her Spirit, she was back alive again. So if we want to live that kind of life, we want to have the Spirit working inside of us. The Spirit never leaves us anymore. It's always there. But we've got to wake it up. We've got to stir it up. We've got to get it moving. And that requires us to be praising God. It requires us to be noticing the miracles. It requires us to say, that's it. Start speaking the words of God. Start speaking the words of faith. You don't have to be condemning someone else with those words. You need to be telling yourself, get up, get going. God said I'm supposed to live a great life. You know, start saying what He's saying about you. The things that Jesus did, I'll do also in greater things than those.
Amen.
And now at first you might be thinking, well, boy, that sounds really hard. I don't know if I can do that. But remember, it's the Spirit within doing the work. It's the Spirit within that gave you the life. It's the Spirit within doing the miracles and the work. And so once you start to get that and understand that, now you can let that power work through you.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
In Ezekiel 37, verse 14, it says, I put my Spirit in you, and you shall live.
Amen.
That's God speaking. All the prophets spoke only when the Spirit of God descended upon them. Remember, they were before Jesus, so the Spirit had to descend upon them. They did not prophesy of their own. They did not have those words. They did not have that knowledge. It was not open to them until the Spirit came upon them. You have that same Spirit now inside of you, and it never leaves. That means you can prophesy. That means you can see your future, and you can see the incredible things that God has provided for you. Samson did not have incredible strength until the Spirit of God came down upon him. You remember Samson? Samson was a strong guy. They talked about how strong he was and how he defeated thousands single-handedly. I mean, must have been amazing to see. And yet that strength was not on him until the Spirit of God came down upon him. Because it says here in Judges, and the Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon him. This is talking about Samson. Didn't happen before. It just happens now, at the moment he needs it. And the Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon him, and he tore a lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Comes against the lion. He needs that power. The Spirit of God comes down upon him. He's got that power. You've got that same power inside of you right now.
Amen.
So you've got the strength of Samson inside of you right now.
Amen.
Amen. The same thing was true also for all these other guys that I was talking about. Here it talks about David. Remember King David? Listen to this. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. He is anointed. You were anointed. You were anointed not with oil, though. You were anointed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You were anointed with the Spirit of God, right? David gets anointed. Back in those days, they anointed with an oil, which was representing that Spirit. So he gets anointed. The minute that happens, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and from that day forward. What do we know about David? Now, this happened before David faced Goliath. He was anointed. Now the Spirit comes down upon him. What do you think gave him the skill and the ability to throw that rock so straight, to be able to defeat someone that had been trained from birth to be a warrior, and this kid was just a shepherd? It's the Spirit of God on the inside that gives life. It's the Spirit of God that gives the skill to be able to do those kind of things. What's the skill that you need in your life right now? Do you need a technical skill? Do you need an ability? Is it a physical ability that you need? Do you need a strengthening in your body? What is it that you need? The Spirit of God can give that. Is there a talent that you feel like you lack, but that if you had it, you'd be able to fulfill your purpose? I'm telling you right now that the Spirit of God on the inside has that talent. And when you shake it up and wake it up and start to move it, the Spirit of God will use that ability right through you. Say amen to that. Amen. Do you feel like you're not strong enough? I'm telling you, you've got the same power of Samson on the inside. That Spirit of God doesn't have to come upon you. It's in you. It lives in you. It dwells in you. It's there all the time. What I'm trying to say is that whatever you need in life, you've already got it. You've already got it. Whatever talent, whatever gift, whatever it is to fulfill your purpose. Now remember, God has given you a purpose from the foundation of the earth. It's put inside of you. It's part of you. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can change about it. All you got to do is say, praise God, I'm going to do this. God, let the Spirit begin to move in me and I will fulfill this. All things are possible in Jesus' name. Amen. It says here in Romans 8, 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's what I've been saying. So, and in Romans 8, 10, it says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It is the righteousness that we have gotten. By receiving Jesus, we are righteous. Do you know what righteous means? It means in right standing with God.
Amen.
God has nothing against you. God has nothing against you. He loves you and He wants you to fulfill the purpose that He put in your heart, the reason He created you. You are righteous. You're in right standing with God. He loves you and He knows you're good because He has made you good and He has reconciled you so that you're one with Him and that you're walking with Him and so that you can be blessed in all ways. And when you remember that life comes from the Spirit, you can now focus on that. You can begin to let that Spirit awaken in you and live through you so that your talents and your skills and your abilities will be brought to a new level. And the Spirit of God will help you to fulfill the promises of God. It's a guarantee. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.